In this concert from the Almeida Festival in North London, we will reveal the less familiar side of Kurt Weill, the music he wrote for theatre shows in Paris and New York, which became his home in exile. In 1933, he left Germany in a hurry. Performances of his last German score, The Silver Lake, were disrupted by Nazi demonstrations, and Weill knew that he was on the Nazi blacklist. On the infamous Day of Potsdam, he crossed the German border and drove to Paris. He was lucky enough to find a wealthy patron, the Princess Edmonde de Polignac, who commissioned him to write a work that became the Second Symphony. In Paris, he also wrote the ballet with songs, The Seven Deadly Sins, which was performed at the Théâtre des Champs-Élysées by George Balanchine's company. Then there was Marie Galante, a play by Jacques Duval, based on his own novel. The story of a tart with a heart of gold, who is shipped off to South America by a villainous sea captain. She is unloaded at Carupano, works at her trade to earn the price of a ticket home, but is murdered on the eve of her departure. Angelina Rayo sings the strange, sad songs of Marie Galante, accompanied by the Matrix Ensemble and chorus. Robert Ziegler conducts.
Avec sa belle affaire. A fendu la crâne, fendu les crânes en nuit, à cause de la nuit, en son petit fourneau, il a grillé la crâne, devant Caprice Clamant, sous la mer océanique, les filles.
Yeah.
Pour servir la reine ma verra.
In 1935, Kurt Weill sailed for America. He was invited to write the score for a monumental pageant about the progress of the Jewish people, The Way of Promise. It was scheduled to open at the Manhattan Opera House, but the production ran into trouble and the money ran out. Weill had to find work in order to stay in America until the epic was finally mounted. Lee Strasberg and the Group Theatre of New York came to his aid, offering him a commission to write the score for Johnny Johnson. This was a play by Paul Green, a satirical piece about a pacifist stonemason who becomes involved in the First World War, promotes the cause of peace in the trenches, and sprays the Allied high command with laughing gas. But Broadway in the 1930s was not quite ready for intimate musical satire, and Johnny Johnson only ran for 68 performances. At the same theater on 44th Street, where the Threepenny Opera had flopped 3 years before. David Drew has arranged the songs and music into a concert suite under the title War Play, with commentary from documentary sources at the time. The soloists are Angelina Rayo, Quentin Hayes, and Nicholas Falwell.
Europe, summer, 1914.
Britain is, as we all know, a great and mighty nation, with property throughout the world and colonies galore. We're leaders of the great Entente, our pride befits our station. Our army's there, our navy's there, from far to Singapore. Then hail, 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 all hail Britannia and her crown. We lift the cup to thee and drink thy health in bumpers down of tea,
The Germans have no time for tea, they're feeding their own pigeons on sausages and sauerkraut and jugs of nasty beer. So Kaiserville is growing fat and envies our dominions. We'll win the fight that he began and teach him rules of beer. Then hail, 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 all hail Britannia and her crown. We lift our cup to thee and drink my health in bumper down of tea, of tea, strong tea.
By noon on 1st August 1914, Germany is at war with Russia, and within 24 hours her troops invade France. The invasion of Belgium follows on the 4th, and at midnight, Britain enters the war.
Quiet, where we stand watch.
watching overhead.
We are your fools and you're the dead.
Soldiers, soldiers, soldiers must ascend. Soldiers must ascend.
A small town in the United States of America, early 1917.
Over in Europe things are bad, a great big war is going on, and every day somebody's dead, a shot and kill somebody's son. Terrible, terrible, it's horrible to think about, or frightful, or shameful, the medical stay out.
Terrible, terrible, it's horrible to think about.
They say in France a million odd of souls have yielded up their lives, in Germany the elect have got a widow for a million wives. Terrible, terrible, the war will send and end, a murderous, or horrible, who let the Kaiser win.
Terrible, terrible, to let the Kaiser win.
What said the immortal Washington? No entangling alliances. And James Monroe? People of Europe, stay over on your side. You heard me. And what does the great president of the United States say today? Than whom there is none whom... he says the neutral we must beat the last ditch. And what do I, your mayor, say? I say the same.
Io do ricord a matchless verse, which lately in the Argus set.
Though Washington did fighting stand in battle in the fray, my children was at this great
February 1917, Germany renounces its earlier pledge to President Wilson and embarks on unrestricted submarine warfare. Three American steamships, Housatonic, California, and Lyman M. Lane, are torpedoed by German submarines during the blockade of the eastern coast. Two American lives are lost on the night of 27 February when the Cunard liner Laconia is sunk without warning. Good Friday, 6 April 1917, Congress passes a joint resolution declaring war on Germany.
Father sent me to West Point, where I tough and brawn and joint, owing
working hard and fierce and wild to meet the foe. Well, the teachers did inspire me with patriotic fire, till I thought I was the child of Alamo. I'm the child of Alamo, Bunker Hill and Gettysburg, the same ditto. U.S. Canada, really trained at best, but just like me, someday too I'll also be a great hero. Now I yell a mighty yell, saying give the Boches hell, hold up Gustav, Fritz, and Karl, and Johann too. For remember the swine from the mudflats of the Rhine, killers always let them stop, they may kill you. Now it's time for
Berlin!
Front pass in line!
Berlin!
Right step in front!
Berlin!
Left step in, no pay right!
Berlin!
Take away, get back! Berlin! To the crying, to the fight as well!
Western Front, Spring, 1917. The Times, London. 10 April 1917. A battle on a vast scale began yesterday morning, and although it is too soon yet to judge its results, the opening stages augur a great success for British arms. Berliner Tageblatt, 12 April. We are convinced that Hindenburg will have seen to it that the enemy shall not reach his goal. The Battle of Arras is the beginning of a decisive struggle between a brainless accumulation of war materials and the living genius who inspires his weapons with his will. Christmas 1917. On the Western Front, there is unofficial fraternization between German and Allied troops. Meanwhile, in Versailles, the Allied High Command meet for the first time.
Of the Allied arms is all arranged. And each man knows his task, n'est-ce pas? And now the saddest subject possible, the necessary loss of lives in this oncoming drive. Are we prepared to suffer it?
We are.
Your Majesty?
30,000 dead, perhaps, some others of 10,000 wounded too.
General Haig?
More than 100,000 killed, and thrice as many wounded, sir.
Vive, for England's glory never shall go dim. The world has sunk and died so easily.
But Belgium, sir, is such a little land, so tiny and so small. But tiny though she is, perhaps we might enlarge the figure some.
You say, 15,000 dead?
Bravo!
Bravo!
Et vous, mon cher brave camarade?
We bow before the mighty English nation. If we lose more than 80,000 dead, a revolution breaks out in France.
Vraiment?
I say, thanks to Sinon. If England is 100,000 dead, La Belle France, my native France, can give 100,000, so they say.
Vive la France!
And what of the Americans?
It seems we have right many trees along the sector where we fight. I don't expect so many killed. I say expect. There's nothing better than a tree between a man and rifle fire. Especially if he's small.
Messieurs, at this high moment, at this historic hour, we all stand up, stand up, stand up. Salute! Salute the coming of the early dawn that marks our hour of doom, the end of Germany,
the end of Germany.
November 1918. At 11 o'clock on the 100th day of the war's fifth year, hostilities are suspended on all fronts.
Come, let us invite him to peace. Jolly, let us save him, we will see. Jolly, let us save him, we shall see. Come, give us the faith, we shall see.
In 1937, Kurt Weill became an American citizen. In the decade that followed, he was a regular contributor to the musical theater of Broadway. His successes included Lady in the Dark and Street Scene, with one spectacular flop, The Firebrand of Florence. Otto Klemperer said that Weill went to pieces in America because he got too involved in American show business and all the terrible people in it. But Weill himself believed that Broadway was the place for musical theater, not the Metropolitan Opera House. Broadway represented the living theater. Opera was a museum piece toilsomely preserved by its devotees. In 1949, he collaborated with Maxwell Anderson on a musical version of Alan Paton's best-selling novel, Cry the Beloved Country. It's the story of a black preacher
and his search for his son, who has gone to the city and fallen among villains. There is a robbery, a killing, and a trial for murder. The boy is sentenced to death. As the moment of execution draws close, a kind of reconciliation is reached between his father and the father of the white man he murdered. The piece was called Lost in the Stars. It opened in October 1949 at the Music Box Theatre in New York and was still playing when Kurt Weill died of a coronary on April 3rd the following year. He was just 50. David Drew has arranged the music from Lost in the Stars into a concert suite with linking narration from the original novel. The soloists are Damon Evans and Cynthia Clary.
But the rich green hills break down, they fall into the valley below, and falling change. For they grow red and bare, they cannot hold the rain and mist. The streams run dry in the cold, too many cattle feed on the grass. It is not kept or guarded or cared for. It no longer keeps men, guards men, cares for men. The Titihaya cries here no and old women, of mothers and children. The men are away, the young men and the girls are away. The soil cannot keep them anymore.